This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
This is Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Welcome in to Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We get things started this morning, Abdallah, with the top story, and it took place yesterday. The Chicago Bears have declined the fifth-year option on quarterback Mitchell Trubisky for the 2021 season, a source tells Adam Schefter on Saturday. The second overall pick in 2017's NFL draft, Trubisky finished last season in QBR for quarterbacks. He was tied for 27th in touchdown passes, was 21st in passing yards, 32nd in yards gained per pass attempt, and 28th in traditional quarterback rating. Trubisky will earn $4.4 million in 2020 and will count against the cap $9 million against the Chicago Bears cap for this season. So not really a surprise, but officially now the Chicago Bears decline the fifth-year option for Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, it's I don't know whether you want to look at it as a motivator for Mitchell Trubisky and, oh, now he's going to try even harder because now they don't believe in him or something like that or whatever. But ultimately, when you brought in Nick Foles, you kind of knew the writing was on the wall that this was going to be there. You know, Ryan Pace throughout the offseason didn't want to comment on it. We'll get to it when we get to it. We got the draft to focus on. We got free agency to focus on. Now we're decompressing from the draft. We don't want to have to talk about it just now. But we all kind of knew, look, you're not going to pick it up. It's $24.5 million. That's a lot of money. Like, that's a lot of money. And worst case scenario for the Bears, not really worst case, best case scenario for the Bears, really, is that Mitch wins the job. He has a Joe Flacco-type season when Joe Flacco didn't have a deal for the next year. They go and win a Super Bowl, and they have to pay him a bunch of money because he actually becomes worthy of the second overall pick where they drafted him. But more than likely, Nick Foles is going to win this job. Nick Foles is going to be the quarterback, and Nick Foles is going to be the Bears quarterback moving forward, and Mitchell Trubisky will be looking for a job after next year.
You know, it's interesting. You start the whole point with the fact that Ryan Pace, the way he played this, it's okay the way he played it. Like, I don't understand anyone who looks at this offseason and said that, like, we needed to know whether or not the Bears are picking up the fifth-year option the moment this season ended.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get that. Like, the Bears didn't have to do that because, to be honest, they don't owe Trubisky anything. No. And this is nice and refreshing to see the way they've handled this because finally something wasn't given to Mitchell Trubisky. To this point, his career with the Chicago Bears has been about them handing him things that he didn't deserve. Well, like, I get it. He was a second overall pick. Congratulations, right? Like, great job, buddy.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
But, like, you were handed the job. There was never competition for your job. Even when you played poorly, you weren't removed from said job, even though the rest of the team has to compete for their spots. Like, that sends a bad message to the rest of the team when you know that someone can't perform in that position, yet you continue to get the job. So finally, in this offseason, it was not handed to him, and no longer is it handed to him. And the Bears don't owe him anything after this season. That's it. You're right. If he plays well, he will deserve a new contract.
Mm-hmm.
100%. And that will be good for Bears fans. That will be good for everybody. Why? Because if he plays well, chances are the offense will be better. And chances are, if that offense is better, this team is heading towards the playoffs because that's what we need. You know, 17 points per game for the Chicago Bears on offense, not good enough. We've seen that for multiple years now. That defense is great. How long can it stay at that level while the offense gives you nothing? So we need a quarterback to play better. And if it's Trubisky at the end of the day who does that, then we'll all be okay. It'll be fine. But finally, nothing was handed to him.
Well, for once also, finally, Ryan Pace, you know, slow played something. You know, he didn't rush to judgment. Maybe he did. Maybe behind the scenes he was like, we're not picking up that option. We're just not going to tell anybody. but we're not going to pick up that option. It's not like the Bears were going to send out a press release that said, we are not going to pick up the, we are declining the fifth-year option. No, you're going to find out like Schefter did, or like, you know, like everybody else did, with a tweet from Ian Rappaport or from Adam Schefter or from whoever, right?
Right.
And so ultimately, right now, it's a competition, you know, between Nick Foles and between Mitchell Trubisky. But also, the news from yesterday is that Andy Dalton signs a one-year, $3 million deal with the Dallas Cowboys to back up Dak Prescott. So another quarterback that was released is picked up by another team that, where when this quarterback free agency started, people were guessing, could Andy Dalton come to the Bears? He's got connections with Bill Lazor, the new offensive coordinator. You know, he's got connections all over the place. He kind of knows the system somewhat. He's had success in the past. He's had a lot of success if you go a few years back. Recently, you know, he's like most of these quarterbacks who have been released, they've struggled the last few seasons. You've had Jameis Winston, who signs with the Saints. You have Andy Dalton, who signs with the Cowboys. You have Nick Foles, who was traded. Cam Newton still on the street. And so now you wonder, did Ryan Pace jump the gun? Did Ryan Pace make the right move in getting Nick Foles as early as he did? I think, with no doubt in my mind, that Nick Foles is the best option out of those options for this system, for this team, right? For the Bears, with Matt Nagy, with Bill Lazor, with all these guys, Nick Foles is the best option. But once again, just like Cole Kmet might be the best option for the Bears, just like Jalen Johnson might be the best for the Bears, just like the guys that they traded back into the fifth round to get for might be the best option for the Bears, I don't agree with the way Ryan Pace goes about his business. I don't agree with, you know, maybe Matt Nagy went to him and said, hey, I want Nick Foles. I think Nick Foles is the best option to compete with Mitchell Trubisky. He knows the system. Who knows what kind of a training camp we're going to have this year, so we need familiarity, because that's all you've heard from every NFL analyst, from Lewis Riddick to everybody else, says this season is about familiarity because we have no idea what kind of training camp we're going to get. You know, the years forward, I don't know what's going to happen, but ultimately this season, for this singular season where the Bears are built to win right now and make the playoffs right now and go on a Super Bowl right now, Nick Foles is the best option. So you bring him in. But ultimately, did Ryan Pace need to go out and be like, hey, Eagle, yeah, give us, I need it right now. Give it to me. What do you want? Fourth round pick? Okay, cool. Take it. Give it to me. Give it to me now. I want it right now. Could he have waited and maybe given up something later? Because it's not like they were going to cut Nick Foles because they would be on hook for all of the money. But could he have waited and been like, you know what? Now you don't need him. I'll give you a fifth round pick. I'll wait till the draft. I'll give you a sixth round pick. I'll give you a conditional fourth or something like that. Did he need to jump the gun and give up draft capital more than what he needed to for Nick Foles?
So let's look at this. Andy Dalton yesterday. So we basically have dueling top stories here, because not only are the Bears declining the fifth-year option for Mitchell Trubisky, yesterday the Cowboys agreed to a one-year deal with Andy Dalton, the team announced on Saturday. The quarterback's deal has a base value of $3 million that could be up worth to $7 million, according to sources to Adam Schefter. So you have Andy Dalton, who went to TCU, going back to Texas. He'll be the backup for the Dallas Cowboys. To Abdallah's point, you know, the one thing that I would look at is, look at Andy Dalton, his stats against Nick Foles. When you look at Andy Dalton, last year, 16 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, completion percentage of 59%. He threw for 3,400 yards. The Bengals were terrible last year. Mm-hmm. I think if you lay the two stat-wise next to each other, Foles and Dalton, over the course of his career, Dalton's a better player. Now, you can tell me all you want about the connection that Nick Foles has to the Philadelphia style, the Philadelphia system that Matt Nagy's running here with the Chicago Bears. The problem is, Foles has not been here. So it is new to him to some extent. You mentioned Bill Lazor. He has a connection. He was the quarterback coach for Andy Dalton in Cincinnati. Yeah. He is now in Chicago. There is a connection there. So if you lay the stats of both players next to each other, it's not like Nick Foles is 100%
the better
player.
But he won a Super Bowl, Chris. He won a Super Bowl.
I get it. Everyone goes on a heater in Vegas. I understand it. That is true. I think what could be possible here, and you made the point, is it seems like Pace once again rushed to get something accomplished just so he could have it set, right? And we opened this up by talking about Trubisky and the fifth-year option. Maybe he knew all along, Trubisky's not my starter next season. no matter what takes place in this offseason, I have to solidify someone to start at quarterback, no matter who it is. I need to get someone who's not Mitch Trubisky. I think that's possible. And that's maybe why he rushed out and landed Nick Foles, because when you kind of look at it, what you gave up, fourth round pick for Nick Foles, plus you owe him, what, $17 million guaranteed? When you look at the free agent market, Cam Newton's available still. Jameis Winston signs for a mil. Andy Dalton signs for three. Like, there are options there if you would have slow played it and allowed it to come back to you. But instead, you're the first one out of the gate. You land Nick Foles. You give up the draft capital. Once again, that's all he does, is he gives up draft picks like they're lollipops, right? Mm-hmm. He hands them out of his pocket and he gives them away, right? It, the whole thing, Nick Foles may be the best option, but you can't tell me that 100% he's a better quarterback than Andy Dalton. They're both subpar quarterbacks, right? No matter who you have starting for your team, oh, it's not like you're in a great position.
It's all trash. It's all trash. Whether it's Jameis Winston, whether it's Andy Dalton, whether it's Nick Foles, whether it's Trubisky, it's all trash at this point. Because you missed so badly on Mitchell Trubisky, this is what the Bears are stuck with. And I know they brought in Nick Foles and he's got the option for the 2021 season. But ultimately, Ryan Pace hasn't set this team up to succeed for the future at the quarterback position by not drafting a quarterback late in the draft, by not signing one as an undrafted free agent. You know, the guy out of Washington State was available. You know, I know maybe he wanted to stay close to home and sign with Seattle, but ultimately, these guys were available. You didn't even bring in, this is your quarterback's room. You didn't even bring in another arm. You've got Trubisky, you've got Foles, you've got Tyler Bray. That's it. Not even a flyer on someone late in the draft in the seventh round just to be like, you know what, just come in, we'll see what happens. No, we need two offensive linemen just to say that we drafted offensive linemen, right? So to me, yeah, Nick Foles might be the best option. He might win the job. He might take the Bears to the playoffs, whatever. But ultimately, setting up this team for success in the future at the most important position in sports is something Ryan Pace has failed to do. And it's probably, ultimately, when they don't make the playoffs this season, going to cost him his job. Because the Bears haven't done enough to put them above the Vikings or the Packers, in my opinion. They're still not a playoff team. They're a 500 team still. They haven't done anything to improve. Yeah, they filled some of the holes that they had that Ryan Pace created because he misdrafted. So because of that, they're all probably going to be out of jobs, and none of this is going to matter, and we're still going to be waiting for the Bears to be competitive and make the playoffs again. Because, listen, I get it. You made the playoffs and you lost to the Eagles. I get it. That's fine. But if you made it and you lost, did you really make it? Did you?
Yeah, you made the playoffs. You just lost a game at home.
Yeah. But, yeah.
You still made the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned a good point, and an interesting question is, what's the breaking point for Bears fans? Like, what's the record that the Bears go next season where you say, okay, Ryan Pace has to be out?
Well, you have to make the playoffs. You have to make the playoffs. There's an extra playoff team.
No,
they made it even easier for you to make the playoffs.
No, I understand that. Well, so is it 10 wins? Is it 9 wins? If they go 8-8 again with this offense and say Nick Foles doesn't live up to all the hype that many of us have heading into this offseason, into next season, because of what he knows of the offense already, if they go 8-8, is that good enough?
No,
would imagine anything.
It's playoffs.
I would imagine anything sub 500 means that they're out.
Well, if they're sub 500, they're not going to make the playoffs. To me, so you have to make the playoffs. I don't look. They got rid of Lovey after a 10-win season.
No, I know, and that's why it's all about expectations, and it's all about the context of what we have with this organization as Bears fans, right? Like, mediocrity is not good enough. There are some people who are Bears fans just because they like the gear, right? Like,
it's cool gear.
But which is okay.
It's a good logo.
I would like some wins. I would like playoffs.
Yeah.
Maybe a Super Bowl championship. That would be nice.
A Super Bowl caliber defense. It'd be nice if they got past the first round of the playoffs.
You can watch us on Twitch this morning. You can find the channel at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Also, if you want to join the show, you can call us at 312-332-3776. Ryan Pace was two moves away from having a perfect offseason. I'll tell you what those are next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Break
show. It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Ryan Pace was two moves away from having a perfect offseason. I'll tell you about those two moves in just a second, Abdallah, but have you been following along on social media the Bears starting linebacker and what he's been up to? Yeah, have you seen this, the videos of Roquan Smith? What has he been up to? I mean, we're all socially distancing, staying at home during this quarantine throughout the pandemic here, COVID-19. Have you seen what Roquan Smith has been up to? Hard-hitting linebacker in the middle for the Chicago Bears. What has he been up to these days?
Yeah, he's having a hot girl summer.
A what?
Hot girl summer.
For those who don't know, what is a hot girl summer?
It's when you're a hot girl and you have a summer.
Can you explain why does that apply to Roquan Smith?
Because he's out there on a boat with with adult film stars.
Is he now?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with their work?
No.
Oh.
I mean, I know who she is.
But you, oh. Okay.
But I don't know.
You said stars, like there were multiples.
No, I've only seen the one. Okay. I've only seen the one that people have been posting about on the internet.
Okay. So he's posting this?
He did, yeah.
Oh, so he's out there.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like he's making sure people know.
Oh, he doesn't care.
Oh.
Yeah, he...
All right.
Yeah.
But socially distanced, right?
No.
There's...
Well, I mean, I think he's in Atlanta. I think he's in Georgia. I think he's in Georgia.
I'm watching a video where he's getting a bottle of... That looks like champagne poured in his mouth.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a lot of people on that boat.
But he put it on his...
Do they have enough life preservers for the amount of people on that boat?
Well, there's definitely some floating devices in there.
Ayo! Well played. That was nice.
Thank you.
You can add that to your stand-up.
He's definitely, like, if you look at his Instagram, he's posting. Like, he does not care.
Oh. Huh. All right.
I didn't know Pornhub sold bikinis, but they do.
Oh, so it's like free advertising, right?
I think so. Maybe he's getting a little cut.
That's interesting. So Roquan Smith... Bears linebacker, hard-hitting linebacker in the middle. What'd you call it, a hot girl summer for?
He's having a hot girl summer. Listen.
The rest of us are staying at home, and Roquan's having a hot girl summer.
To quote one of the top 50 players in the NBA's history, Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
He's not going to let this blank up his summer.
That's so true.
He is not.
You can find the videos on social media.
Just go to his Instagram.
You can find
Just
it.
Go to Roquan Smith's Instagram. He's not hiding from this at all.
No.
He's hanging out with porn stars on a boat.
There's a lot of people on that boat. A lot of people there.
A lot of people.
All right, good for him.
I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that's great. All right, so Ryan Pace, 312-332-3776. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000 talking football. Two moves away from having a perfect offseason. You know, like, you can make the argument getting that quarterback that we knew the Chicago Bears had to go get. Perfect move, right? Mm-hmm. Goes out, lands Nick Foles early, solidifies the position. He knows that, okay, Mitch Trubisky's not going to be here going forward. So I go get a quarterback who knows the system. You could argue that's a perfect move. Okay, that's great. He goes out and signs Robert Quinn, 5-year deal, right? $70 million, defensive end, someone who could get after the quarterback. I will never knock a move going after a defensive end who can help you win football games.
Oh, yeah.
To me, that's one of the most important positions in all football. Have your quarterback, get some weapons for your quarterback, get after the quarterback. If you can do like two of three of those things, you could do all three of those things, you're a really good football team, right? So I like Robert Quinn. I like that the Bears signed and re-signed Danny Trevathan. Knows his system. He's been productive for the Chicago Bears. He's actually been better than I thought he was.
Playmaker.
Right? He's a hard-hitting linebacker.
Disruptor.
Is he socially distancing at home, or is
I don't
he,
know. I
is
haven't he on seen boats? I haven't seen his Instagram
in the middle of the ocean with a bunch
of
porn stars.
The only bear I know that's social distancing for sure is that is not on the team anymore. And that's Kyle Long, because he posts a lot and he's out there.
He's at home,
video gaming and all that good stuff.
Camping in his backyard.
Yeah, good stuff. Good times.
I want to go camp in Kyle Long's backyard. Do you think he would let us?
When Kyle Long catches a fish with his bare hand when you go camping with him, not in his backyard, obviously, but I feel like that would be a move that he could pull. You'd be like, you'd be trying
he'd
to fish all day.
He'd just
be
snatch like, it out of thin
he
air.
Would like get up and just go, here's a fish.
And bite its head off.
Yeah.
So I like Danny Trevathan. I like Cole Kmet at 43. Being the tight end of the future, being the best available tight end in the NFL draft, I think that is a smart move. You have a good, legit tight end going forward. Good move. Jalen Johnson addressing the fact that Prince Amukamara will not be here going forward. You get a cornerback from Utah on one of the best defenses in college football last season. This guy is a tough dude. He can play, plays through injury. I like Jalen Johnson. Really good moves. I think Ryan Pace, basically throughout this offseason, has really nailed it. He's had a really good offseason. There are two spots, though, that he botched. And number one is signing Jimmy Graham. And not only just signing Jimmy Graham, but it was signing him for the price that he signed him for. The 2 years, $16 million, and people want to argue, all right, it's not really $16 million because it's not guaranteed for the whole thing. But Jimmy Graham is guaranteed $9 million.
Yeah.
That was terrible. Because if you look at the other tight ends on the market, Austin Hooper was 18.5. And I get that he is double the price. Probably more than double the player, though, if you look at Austin Hooper. If you look at the other tight ends on the market, Eric Ebron, Greg Olsen, Jason Witten, Eifert, all these players were under $4 million to sign. So you're spending $9 million guaranteed to get a tight end who most people would say is past his prime, when there were guys comparable on the market who signed for about three.
But you don't need him. You drafted a tight end. Again, this goes back to the moves of Ryan Pace getting trigger happy and getting an itchy trigger finger. I feel like he was like, we need a tight end. Well, Jimmy Graham's there. I know him. He was a saint. Okay, do it. Let's get it. Come on. How much do you want? $9 million guaranteed? Okay.
Right.
Like, it's just like you didn't need him if you were going to draft a tight end. It didn't. I understand you needed to draft a tight end for the future, but you didn't need to sign Jimmy Graham. You didn't have to do both things. You just do one thing. Sign or draft Cole Kmet. That's all you needed to do.
Well,
you got BoJack Horseman. You got Broniker. You got all these guys.
Well, it's you need two tight ends.
Okay, they have 10.
No,
nine.
You need two playable tight ends. I think the thing they botched was the amount of money that he guaranteed to said tight end. And that's where you kind of wrap this all together, because even though the Nick Foles move is a good move, and I just gave him credit for it, and I think it was smart. And if I am trying to get him to a perfect offseason, Nick Foles is a smart move to get that done. The problem is when you wrap up Foles and the $17 million guaranteed and the $9 million guaranteed in Jimmy Graham, you're missing out on better players that were on the open market, like in Austin Hooper, which, okay, the Bears weren't involved. Well, part of the reason why they weren't involved is they spent the same amount of money on Nick Foles that you would have Austin Hooper, who's a much better player, right? Or you could have looked at the Andy Dalton, the $3 million. You look at Jameis Winston, the $1 million. You look at Ebron getting 5.5. The Witten getting 3.5. Olsen, $5 million. Like, there were better players on the market for what you're trying to accomplish. You needed a second tight end. I don't knock the fact that you went out and got a second tight end, even though you drafted one with your 43rd pick. What I knock is the $9 million guaranteed. That's where he botched it. The second spot that he botched was giving up a fourth-round pick in 2021 to move up into the fifth round of this year's 2020 draft.
Yeah.
That was a botched move.
Yeah.
So if you look at Ryan Pace's entire offseason, the two spots that kept him from having a perfect game in this offseason, it was the overpaying for Jimmy Graham, and it was giving up a fourth-round pick next season for a fifth-round pick this season. Nothing else. It's not like he collected 2 fifth-round picks. It's not like he collected a fifth and a sixth. He just swapped picks to then jump into this year's fifth round to select a player while giving up the better value of a fourth-round pick next year. outside of those two picks, Ryan Pace had a damn near perfect offseason.
I think he could have waited on Nick Foles, too. I got no problem with Nick Foles. I got no problem with the money you're giving him because you restructured the deal. That's fine. Giving him an opt-out, that's fine. Whatever you want to do. But you could have waited and probably gotten given up less than a fourth-round pick because you could have used that fourth-round pick this year. You could have used it. Maybe you give him a pick for next year. Maybe you give him whatever. Like, you could have given up less for Nick Foles, I feel, if you waited. And look, the argument is always going to be, well, you don't know. You don't know. Maybe there were people lining up. Maybe you don't know. Well, you know what?
What kind of voice was that?
That's the internet voice.
Internet voice?
That's
internet
Twitter.
Troll?
That's Twitter. That's me, two glasses of Tito's in last night, and people tweeting about Andy Dalton to me. You don't know. You don't know. That is after the draft, me saying, why didn't you just wait and trade your 43rd overall pick and move back in the second round? Cole Kmet probably still would have been there. You don't know. You don't know if he would have been there or not. It's half Nick, half internet person.
Nick who?
Friedel.
Okay.
You don't know. Nick's a little more jovial.
Yeah, and he has a laugh.
You don't know.
You don't
and these guys
know.
Aren't laughing because they're angry.
You don't know.
They're pointing their finger down at the you don't know.
So what were you saying?
I don't like the way he went about things because I think he jumps the gun and he doesn't. Like, he pays sticker price for the car. He doesn't negotiate. This dude's not negotiating.
Does he know he can negotiate?
I don't think he does. I think he just thinks everywhere's like a CarMax and there's no negotiation. He's going to Carvana and just putting his credit card in and getting the car out of the vending machine. And he doesn't know that he can negotiate. He doesn't understand that you can make deals at a car dealership.
A near perfect offseason for Ryan Pace. That's why I think it was. It was only two botched moves. Everything else, I can totally see. I get. And I like the moves they made. Quinn, smart. Trevathan, smart. Getting a quarterback. Getting your tight ends right. He didn't necessarily address the wide receiver position. We'll kind of figure that out as we kind of go. But basically, a near-perfect offseason for Ryan Pace. Your calls next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Black and Abdallah talking Bears football with you at 312-332-3776. Mitch Trubisky's fifth-year option declined by the Bears. Now they move forward. Let's go to Jackson on 290. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jackson?
Hey, guys. I just got a couple quick questions for you. Why aren't we in this, like, why aren't we in the conversation to get Austin Hooper? Is he too much money for us? I could get that, but, like, why don't people want to come play here? And does that mean Jimmy Graham is Jimmy Graham going to catch 9 touchdowns this year? $9 million guaranteed. He's worth $1 million a touchdown. That's crazy. You could still draft Cole Kmet at 43 if you signed an elite tight end like Austin Hooper. If you really wanted to, it's plug and play two tight ends. I don't necessarily agree with 11 tight ends on the roster, but I'll hang up and see what you guys got to say. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jackson. Appreciate the phone call. You know, I don't know if the Bears necessarily needed to go after Austin Hooper. I liked him as a player. Think he's really good. Mm-hmm. I think the way Pace allocated his resources, clearly the Bears weren't interested. But we did hear rumors before free agency started that the Bears would be one of the teams in on Austin Hooper.
Yeah.
To me, the bigger mistake is if you're not going after that type of guy in free agency, then you could have gone after Eifert, Witten, Olsen, Ebron, and accomplished the same thing you did in getting Graham for half the price.
I don't think that it's an issue of people not wanting to come and play here. I think it's a Ryan Pace knows Jimmy Graham and was like, hey, I'm going to give you a bunch of money to come play here. I know you. We're familiar with how you play. You know, you were a Saint. I was a Saint. Like, let's make this happen. You want $9 million? Cool. Here you go. I don't think it was an issue of, you know, let's see who the best available tight end is and then let's, you know, try to make a deal and let's work, you know, save some money here. It was Jimmy Graham's available. Here's some money. There you go. I don't think that there was a line of people running to Jimmy Graham's door to pay him $9 million guaranteed. Ryan Pace was the only one because he's out of the available tight ends on the market. Jimmy Graham's probably the oldest and the slowest.
He does know, right, that Jimmy Graham, it's not like 2013, right? 2014, like when Jimmy Graham was in his prime, right? Like Ryan Pace knows this.
I don't know. Ted Ginn Jr.
Well, I mean, Jimmy Graham. Listen, Ted Ginn Jr. still could be somewhat productive. You know, is he a really good number two wide receiver? No. He's not. He's probably going to be your fourth option. A guy who can speed down the field.
Yeah. But he's our age.
No, I know. I can't play. You can't play.
No, God, no. Or coach.
I see, like, and Ted Ginn, you know, there are the stories that he was so great in the room for the Saints. And that's fantastic. And I'm glad that the Bears are adding someone who's a good teammate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he doesn't produce. What do you have, like 30 catches of 55, like, attempts last season? So, mm-hmm. I mean, okay. He's not going to be a lead number two for an NFL team. That's just not what Ted Ginn Jr. is at this point. So, like, right now, if we look at the wide receiver core, Allen Robinson, definitely your number one.
Yeah.
Anthony Miller's probably your number two, he's unreliable. So you need Wims or Ridley to step up and step in.
Ridley barely saw the field last year. So
that's my point. Is like you're expecting two guys who've done almost zero to step in and be like the guy because you know Taylor Gabriel is replaced by Ted Ginn Jr., but Gabriel's a better player.
Yeah.
Plus,
They also drafted someone who's very fast, but also dropped 18% of his passes that were thrown to him.
No, I know. Like, in the stats are there. Like, he's a good addition if you have like four legit good wide receivers to begin with. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're expecting him to be your number two,
yeah.
Like, okay, and you could sell me like, all right, maybe your number one is Robinson, your number two is Kmet. Number three is Miller. Number four is Graham. Number five is whoever that second wide receiver turns out to be, one of the young guys. And then you got number five, who's Ted Ginn, who's a burner, who you can kind of mix with Tariq Cohen and Patterson. Like, okay, now you're kind of building quite a bit. You just are missing that, like, strong number two. That's what you're missing. Like, look at San Francisco. They have endless amounts of wide receivers that were productive last season. You know, look at some of the good teams in the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, that game was on yesterday on Fox.
Yeah.
Did you see any of it? Like those two teams, way better than what we were dealing with offensively. And I don't think that's shocking to say. It's just that's the reality that we're dealing with.
Well, and then that goes back to Ryan Pace's strategy. This is the deepest wide receiver draft in a very long time. And you could have, you know, what do you value more? Cole Kmet or another wide receiver? Should you have traded back and tried to get a couple more picks so you could draft a wide receiver? So you could have drafted a wide receiver higher. Should you have waited on Nick Foles and maybe you take a wide receiver in the fourth round and only have to give up a fifth round pick for Nick Foles if you wait a little bit longer and not trade right off the bat for him? So again, it goes back to strategy. Holes needed to be filled on this team. And yes, Ryan Pace had a good, but if you just look at the names, he had a good offseason, but it's how he went about this offseason, the money he gave to certain guys, and trading away picks for a pick from next year to get back into the fifth round this year to try to get another guy to try to make a difference on this team who's only end up going to be a rotational guy on a defensive line that's very, very deep.
And that third fifth round pick that he used, he spent it on Darnell Mooney from Tulane, the wide receiver, who's a 5'10", 176-pound wide receiver, who's really fast, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if you project him out, if he is successful, and listen, this is why I throw this warning out there. How many Bears wide receivers have the Bears drafted recently who have produced immediately on the field?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of hype around drafting these wide receivers. Anthony Miller can't stay on the field.
Kevin White.
He's always hurt.
Yeah.
You know, so, and we haven't seen Ridley at all.
I don't know what it was with Ridley. He was healthy.
So it's nice that
just didn't see the field.
It's nice that Ryan Pace drafted someone. But again, before Darnell Mooney can step in and replace Gabriel, it's going to take some time, I would imagine. Whew, I could talk football all day.
We could.
Well, I mean, yeah, we will.
Till 10 o'clock. And then Fred Huebner and Xander come in here.
Yeah, no, it's great. I just wanted to kind of mention this. We're talking football right now here on ESPN 1000. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. On Friday night, we talked to Keith Pompey from the Philadelphia Inquirer, because on Friday, Mark Eversley spoke to the Bulls and spoke to the media after being introduced as the new Bulls GM. So there's a lot of conversation, Abdallah, kind of looking at this Bulls team going forward after the changes they made and who they've hired. Keith Pompey, really good writer on the 76ers, told us on Friday night what the Bulls are getting in Mark Eversley.
You know, it's weird. A lot of people are going to, and it's not a slight to him, but, you know, because typically when you talk about people, you first thing you talk about is, oh, he's a great basketball guy. But then when you come into Mark Eversley, like, the thing that stands out to you is that he's, like, a really unapproachable guy. You know what I mean? He's, like, you know, he's 6'8", he's this and that. But he's really approachable and he's well liked. And then you realize that, you know, that's enabled him to have like the relationships, you know, to go out there and sign free agents, to go out there and like, you know, be able to talk to people and find, you know, what really goes on behind, you know, guys that they scout, you know, goes on with, you know, and the people that they scout, what's on in their mind, what makes them tick. And so I would say when you meet Mark, you know, that's the one thing that's going to stand out to you. And then you realize that he, based on those relationships that he built, you know, he has a great eye for talent as well. So those are the things that really stand out to me. And it's not a knock. It's just that, you know, he's a nice guy and a lot of people like him and they gravitate towards him.
So that's Keith Pompey from the Philadelphia Inquirer. He talked to Black and Abdallah on Friday night. What did Eversley bring to the 76ers? We'll talk about that coming up next. Plus, good question.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Are you serious?
Yeah, dude. Like, and it wasn't even real.
Yikes.
It's a all fake, right. It's a fake thing. But to be fair, I did watch a dude live on Twitch deadlift, set the deadlift record.
That's fine. That's real. You're telling you people watched fake horses run around a track yesterday?
Yeah, they did. I guess. They like, I don't know.
Got amped for it?
I know that I was on Twitter yesterday and...
None of it was real, right?
No, it wasn't real. Mike Golic Jr. and you know who he is. Every Day Should Be Saturday, EDSBS.
Yeah.
College football guy. They were talking about it. I'm like, I need to watch it. I don't know why I want to see the mountain from Game of Thrones set the deadlift record, but I need to watch this.
Oh, for a second, I thought you were saying that they were watching
horses. I turned it on, and I was like I was emotionally invested in this dude setting the deadlift record for like 10 minutes. It was great. He like worked his way up, and they were all there. He was all screaming some Icelandic stuff. It was crazy.
Vincenzo on Twitter just sent me the video of I guess these are they were real horses.
Now people thought you were banned for 2 days. You were actually just taking a couple days off on vacay.
I was here on Friday night for you.
Little steak. I know.
I was here,
but a lot of your man's show, Cap.
Cap Show, 9 to noon every day here on ESPN 1000.
Yeah.
David Kaplan
was about watching
company.
Said fake race. He said, should Secretariat win, he's going to get a Secretariat tattoo.
Okay.
A back tat.
That's great.
Across his back.
Really? Lower back?
Hopefully.
Let's hear one more thing I wanted to play from Keith Pompey from Friday night. We talked to him about Mark Eversley, the new Bulls GM. I thought this was interesting, and I think it gives hope to Bulls fans, because the question that was asked was, what does Eversley bring to the 76ers? Here's Keith Pompey from the Philadelphia Inquirer.
You know, it was weird because, you know, you knew that he was Brian Colangelo's, like, right-hand man when he first came there. So it was kind of like you thought, you know, some of the things that were happening was like Brian. And then when you talk to people, you realize, well, you know, Mark was the guy who really, like, looked into this guy and realized things. because the things that Mark does, like if you don't ask him or if you don't ask other people, you really would think that he's not really doing much, just because, you know, he's the type of guy who keeps that like low profile, so to speak. But really, it was a matter of, I mean, I will tell you this, you know, when his first year there, they really didn't have to do a lot of work because they had the first overall pick and they went out there and they drafted Ben Simmons. And then like this past year, they went and it was really Mark's doing. You know, they went out there and they got Matisse Thybulle. And a lot of people in Philadelphia was like, Matisse, who? Who are you talking about? Like, you going after this guy? And, you know, then you realize that, you know, this guy is arguably, you know, one of the late steals in the draft, like late first round pick steals. And that's all because of Mark, you know. And then you do some research and you realize, you know, he was the guy who got DeMar DeRozan. You know, he was one of the first guys that said, I believe that Damian Lillard can be an all-star in this league. So, you know, initially that first year, it's hard to judge him because of Ben Simmons was going to be the pick. But then it's the other ways that he built the roster, the other free agents who came in there, and the relationships that he had with agents, you know?
So that's Keith Pompey, Philadelphia Inquirer writer, who joined us on Friday night here on Black and Abdallah. To hear the full podcast, just check out the Black and Abdallah section on the ESPN Chicago app. Abdallah, you hear those names and you hear about the way that Mark Eversley goes about his business, low profile, good relationships, and someone who has a great reputation around the league, especially with stars. Hear the names there: Damian Lillard, DeMar DeRozan, Ben Simmons, obviously. You know, to me, it's refreshing because it's not something we've heard in the past about the Bulls front office, right? Like, what's been the MO about the Bulls front office with stars, with free agents in the last few years? Is that people didn't like Gar Forman around the league.
Mm-hmm.
People called him a used car salesman, right? And a snake. And like those type of things about Gar Forman, the way the Bulls would kind of operate in free agency. This is going to be completely different. And I think Bulls fans should be pretty excited about this because, you know, the connections that Mark Eversley has with stars around the league will benefit this franchise.
Not even connections around with stars, Chris. It's deeper than that. It's connections with the agents. Yeah, the stars ultimately decide where they want to play, but who puts it in their head? Who puts it in there, hey, this guy, this team can bring you this. This team can bring you this lifestyle. You know, like, it's not just playing basketball anymore. It's everything that surrounds basketball. Like, yeah, did LeBron want to play for the Lakers? Sure. But you know what else? He's got a movie studio out there.
Yeah.
He's got a production company out there. He's got all these other things that are going on outside of basketball where, like, yeah, he spends 2 hours or 3 hours a day playing basketball, but ultimately everything else he does outside of the game is happening in LA as well. So you have to sell that. And who sells that to the players? Well, the team sells it to the agent. The agent sells it to the players. So Mark Eversley has the connections with the agents. He used to work for Nike, the connections with Nike, all these things that the Bulls have been lacking that he has these connections to, and he's really going to, and you know, a few of the higher profile players that should a player get disgruntled and want to move, he might have that connection to them.
Well, I have the list of players who will be free agents in 2021, 2022, because listen, this offseason, it's not the offseason for the Bulls just because they don't have cap space.
Yeah.
They're going to take inventory on what they have as a team, this new front office. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you go another year out, Anthony Davis, LaMarcus Aldridge, Mike Conley, Kyle Lowry, Victor Oladipo, Rudy Gobert, those are Giannis Antetokounmpo. Those are all star players who are available in free agency in a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, are those the players that the Bulls could have their sights on? Could they get a player like Victor Oladipo? Could they get a player like Rudy Gobert or Giannis Antetokounmpo or Anthony Davis? You know, which one of those players, DeMar DeRozan, even though he's kind of starting to get past his prime, DeMar DeRozan will be a free agent that summer. We just heard in the cut, great connection to Mark Eversley. Mm-hmm. Is that a spot for a player, a wing player, to be a new Chicago Bull at some point? So I think it's all very positive and something to keep an eye on, you know? Now I think we can finally get back to the point when you mentioned it. A disgruntled star around the league wants out. I think now the league looks at the Bulls as it may be a desirable location to force my way to that spot.
Oh, absolutely. Once they make all the changes and bring in more people to help everybody out, the developmental guys, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's going to be, it's still the Bulls. It's Chicago. It's one of the greatest cities in the world. It's Chicago. Of course, you want to play for the Bulls.
Each week at this time, we have our favorite segment. It's called Good Question. We score the hosts here at ESPN 1000. They get a point when they ask a question to a guest on the phone, and the guest responds with good or great question. Here in 2020, what does our leaderboard look like today?
Tom Waddle, Tommy over the middle, number 87, leading the way at 19, and Sylvie and Cap still tied at 17.
Wow, it's a good race. Here's today's good question.
Dad, I got a question for. Can I get an answer?
It's a final question, bro.
You're gonna take any question?
You want me to let me finish talking? You ask me a question, I'm gonna answer it. Don't interrupt me, okay? Just leave it plain and simple, all right?
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
Own or rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Are you my dad's brother?
What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
Dad, I got a question for you. Can I get it in?
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
It's the question that drives us near. It's the question that brought you here.
How could you ask me a question like that? What is my opinion of his performance?
I'm on Burgundy?
Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter?
Dad, I got a question for you. Can I get an answer?
This week's edition of Good Question.
Do you think there's any part of that you guys take with you going forward?
Gola Jr.
You know, as soon as you can get back into that war room setting, that's what you'd all prefer.
You know, that's a good question.
I guess the follow-up would be Roddenberry. He didn't say that.
Papagolic.
Never said that, supposedly. How was Isaiah Thomas not on that team?
That's a good question.
So, Manny, when you take a look at the roster composition of the Vikings, the Packers, and the Bears as well, so are the Vikings the best, just based on what you've seen?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Congressman, what's the time frame, given everything else going on in the world, that you think is realistic for Congress and the NCAA to come up with a valid solution?
You know, honestly, that's a great question.
You mentioned the unemployment rate in your district, obviously the economic impact of the possibility of no college football. Where do you stand on trying to figure out how to make these things happen, but also maintain public health and safety?
You know, it's actually a great question.
See, the celebration of the 75th Little League World Series in 2021, will that date be changed
coming for second place
from the original date?
Yeah, actually, what we're going to do is, it's a good question.
Ian, from a
three-way tie,
and Jerry Reinsdorf, and Bill Belichick, and Robert Kraft.
Jonathan, good question.
Wow.
How about Jonathan Hood this week? Making a late run. Late push.
Three-way tie for second place at 17. Waddle still has 19.
That was good question. Bleck and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. Coming up next, Mitchell Trubisky's fifth-year option was declined by the Chicago Bears. We talk about it.
You are listening to Bleck and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.